And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes about. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sight. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's grind when the man comes back? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wigs. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard tonight, and we're going to get right into our message tonight entitled All Things in Common. We're in Tabernacles. This is the final eighth day. And of course, we just got through doing our series on the eighth day calendar. And if you look at Tabernacles, it was an eight-day event. And it started on a high holy Sabbath. That means the 15th, the full moon. And it ends exactly 8 days later. And tonight we begin the last day of our holy tabernacles. We're still in tabernacles. We're still celebrating the festival of tabernacles. I'd like to share a little poem with you about all things in common. Did you ever see a time when there is much need for things in common? And it's actually, truthfully, it's coming down to a time that birds of a feather will begin to flock together. In other words, like-minded people for like-minded things. Now, we know that there's strength in numbers until you get to a point that numbers become the sure strength. And then we begin to have more faith in the numbers than we do in who numbers the strength, which is our Heavenly Father. So we're going to sit in tone tonight, if you will, the rules of all things in common. We're going to begin, matter of fact, in this tabernacle festival, we shared some secret things in the tabernacle festival. We made vows, the commitments, if you will, to have all things in common. Now, what does that mean? You know, back in the old days when people got sick, they depended on one another for their needs. They didn't have Blue Cross, Blue Shield, or read this or read that, they had men that loved their neighbors as theirself. And today we've gotten away from that because we've depended on the federal, if you will, or the commercial system to support our needs and our beliefs. Well, ladies and gentlemen, now that we're getting back to rule number one, to love Yahweh with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, let me read you a little poem that was written long ago, and it covers the rule of all things in common. The rule which I dare to enact and declare is that all should be equal and equally share. All wealth and enjoyments nor longer endure, that one should be rich and another poor, that one should have acres far stretching and wide, and another not have even enough to provide himself with a grave, that this at his call should have hundreds of servants and the other none at all. All this I intend to correct and amend. Now all of the blessings shall freely partake, one life and one system for all men I make. I think that pretty well covers exactly what the dilemma that we live in today. Well, we found out, and we're finding out, ladies and gentlemen, again tonight, this is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call, and we're looking at Sunday, October the 23rd, and we're going into the final day of the Tabernacles. And in celebration, let me share some of the things that we have come up with in Tabernacles, and we're going to invite those of like mind that would like to gather and have all things in common to a piece of ground or a system of organic farming back to the natural nature provisions and away from the genetically altered foods and things of this nature and mechanical and commercial fertilizers and things of this nature. So we're going to invite you tonight, if you're interested, and we believe someone is out there listening tonight, and that's the reason that we have declared to come to you tonight with the message of all things in common, that there is someone listening tonight. Now, we don't need many, but we do need a few. If there's many, then we should still stay in small groups, that we would call attention not to ourselves, but to He who provides, not those that make the provision through strength of numbers. Again, it is not to the many, it is to the few. Now, we're looking for land. Let me show you something here. Now, we have agreed that we need land somewhere below the Mason-Dixon line. Now, it has nothing to do with those that live above. It just happens to be that we feel like that there is a longer growing season as far as we're concerned. We need at least two growing seasons. That would be two times a year that you could plant a garden early spring and then harvest the early crops and then the latter rain crops, which would require a two growing season. And of course, the farther north you go, the less that you have in common with that objective. But staying down south, we could actually go as far south as South Georgia or into Florida where they grow produce around the year. The whole year is in harvest, but we don't believe in that. We believe that the land should lay barren, and that the crop should be plowed under, and that the soil could be given proper rest. And we will enact the rest laws of the every seventh year. We wouldn't sow and reap the land. We would abide by the common law for common things in common purposes in all natural setting. And all would have equal and equally share all wealth and enjoyment, no longer endure that one should be rich and another poor. We are going to have one life and one system for all men I make. Now, there's a scripture that we're going to give you here tonight. And, of course, you Bible students know the scripture that I'm going to use. And it is in a commonest form that all that believe in Acts chapter 2, verse 44. Listen to us as we read. And all that believe were together and had all things common. Let me repeat that. All of the believers. Now remember, there was 120 on the day of Pentecost. Now this 120 figure was by no accident. We believe it was to unite perfect government and perfect common living. And it gives us an example on how our Creator designed us as a family of one people of all that are gathered in the earth. There's only one people of one kind that should gather together. Now, if you are in a persuasion that you believe that there's three gods, you certainly wouldn't want to gather with us because we believe in one God. And we believe in one name. And salvation in none other name. So we're not divided in names. We don't have many to worship. Therefore, we have common people believing in one name. And that's what we want. If you are common and you believe in one name, and that one name has got the salvation, and we would gladly give you that name if you don't know it, then write for our free information that we have concerning the true name. We'll give it to you. And if you can see your way common, and you have something to add to this gathering, we believe there's someone out there that could probably, possibly, provide all of the financing for at least 600 acres. We don't want anything bigger. Anything bigger than that would have to be divided into another tract and another group. But we could all share common narrative together, especially in the last days. It says, for men to gather together of like faith, especially in the last days, as you see this day approaching. We know that there is something coming down soon that will really try the faith of those who are upon the earth. And the Bible says, to be ye also ready. Now, if one should be rich, then he should remember the poor. That's what the Bible said. And here we are in common need of common things with common people. I admit, you know, I've met a lot of rich people. And some of the most successful, richest people are people with positive attitudes and people with an understanding of knowing where they got their blessings. And that type of people is the type of person I'm looking for tonight. If you have the ability, in other words, if you have the finances, and you want to live in community center where we do all things a common. We grow common food for common man. We eat the good of the land that we have grown in organic setting. And I believe, I truly believe, I know, because I know of other groups that have done this. We're not the first one. We won't be the last one. And in the days to come, there are going to be many that will adopt this philosophy that all things together believe in common things that are offered to the group. In other words, if you bring your talents and your gifts into the gathering where we have a limited number of people to come together, we don't want to be a big crowd. But we want to be a quality, not quantity, crowd. A people of common believing together, all things in common. So if you can share some of the common beliefs that Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call, and incidentally you're listening to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call, in still in the Fellowship of Tabernacles. And we've had a glorious time. And I've been given permission to share with you and at the encouragement of a lot of people that I should make known the things that we feel that are necessary to have the ingredients for all things in common. Now, if we have all things in common, and we have a common objective, which is to believe together, and to work together, and to love together, and to share together, to laugh together, and to mourn together, and to protect one another's investments, as we have this common belief that in the last days it is necessary to huddle. Now, you know, when sheep get in a dangerous situation, they begin to come together and huddle closely together. And the more fear and the more danger present, the tighter the little group of lambs and sheep will gather. Now, Acts chapter 4, verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. I want to repeat that now. Now, we're talking about common-minded people with all things in common. Where the word communism comes from is the theory. And this is a biblical theory. This is not man's belief. The apostolic fathers of Acts chapter 2:44, they were taught by the grand master of how to live. And he carried with him an evangelistic team that he trained for 3 solid years. He taught them the art of all things common. That's why on the day of Pentecost, 120 souls were gathered on the day of Pentecost at the upper room. Now, we're talking about upper room people. We're not talking about low trash people. We're talking about people that had something to bring to the table. And the Bible says that they sold their possessions. Now, we're asking for you that would want to gather. There's requirements now. You have to meet the requirements. And these requirements are available by just contacting Pastor Buddy. And I'll speak for the group that we have. We have a nucleus of people beginning together with a common goal in mind to have all things together. We want to be centrically located somewhere below the Mason-Dixon line. Now, again, for the simple purpose of having the requirements, and these are some of the prerequisites that we have decided. It has to be land that can be attendable, or farming land, quality land that could be tendable. We want to also have in this tract of land 600 acres or less, depending on the price of the land, where we gather and the location, and above all, it must have adequate water. Water will be in the days to come. If you've listened to my messages, you know that I believe that in the last days that water will be the most critical element upon the earth to sustain those that will survive the coming tribulation that is coming upon the earth to try all men. And I believe that the answer that is most common in my thought and in my spirit is to have a group of quality people, not many, that we would impose or intimidate, because we are not in the gathering process to impose or to intimidate. We are in the gathering process to live a holy, peaceful, righteous, sanctified, healthy life. That's all we ask. Here I'm 70 years old, and now just beginning to come together with like-minded people, because I have been busy in my younger years preaching the gospel. I preached the gospel since I was 19 years of age, and I haven't ever let up. And I have been very active in preaching the togetherness. I've always been inclined to think that the Father is the provider, and that if we give thanks for the things that are necessary to sustain life and to prosper, it must be that we have a belief system that is common along together with people that have all things in common. Remember I said, and the people that believe sold the possessions. We're wanting people that have possessions to be able to contribute to the financial need of the group or the community. And we're talking about going back to common, simple living. And for people that have the knowledge and the gifts and the talents to enhance, add to, and to, if you will, to embellish the community, to have men of character and integrity where their word is their bond and where they have no greed in their body, where they don't want to accumulate, they want to bring to the gathering place things common for common people to provide health. We have people that could have a ministry background that could minister to those and the needs of those that will be coming. But we need exactly 600 acres or more. We could have 1,000 acres. But our goal is for 600 acres of prime. Now, we're talking about prime. When we talk about prime, it has to have, if you will, a gathering of the things that we pre-require for the land. We have to have woods and springs and creeks that would run with a history of running, and we have to check the background history of the land. We will want water that has been running on the property for hundreds of years and has never gone dry. So that is a prerequisite. It must have good quality water. Now, we can enhance the water by filtering the water or things of this nature, and that comes in the knowledge of people that are coming. We want men that know what to expect. Now, if you're coming to have a leisurely life, just to lay around on your fanny and have somebody to serve you, you don't need to come to this common gathering, because we want men that will work and that will earn their keep and that will add to the community. We don't want people to live trashy or to be dirty or to be filthy-minded. We want men and women that believe in a good system where anybody in the community or anybody in the surrounding community, in the state or out of the state, could be blessed by coming around us. And that we're not a bunch of people that believe in the extreme elements over to the left or to the right, but that we would go down the center of the highway and believe together all things in common and the multitude. Acts chapter 4:32. Listen to me as I finish this verse. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. And neither said of them that they had need or any aught that was said in the presence of those that had requirements. And so they shared common ground of the things which they possessed as was his own rather than their own. But they had all things common. Now that's Acts 4:32. We could really look at these two scriptures, Acts 2:44 and Acts 4:32. They had all things common. And with this, with a sampling of talent, and I do believe that this is a call under the leadership and the urging of the Holy Spirit, that it is time for men of like mind and women of like mind to come and gather together. The multitude of them that believe were of one heart. We want people that want to be a blessing to their brothers and sisters rather than to themselves. We don't come to be served. We come to serve one another in the system. And the rule which I dare to enact and declare is that all should be equal and equally share. And that's the rule. And that's the common rule, that we have the wealth and enjoyments no longer endure, that one should be rich and another poor. That we would all have things in common. If you lack anything, then your neighbor would make up that which you lack. If you have an abundance or an over possession, then you would share with those of less fortunate stature. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is common things for common people. We don't want high-minded people. We don't want people that know it all. And so we certainly don't know it all. We want to pray together. We want to have communal Bible studies. And we don't want to become adamant and locked in solid concrete of any thought. Thoughts should be explored, and they should be put out for the others to consider. And that's why that they all believed that they were together and had all things in common. This is a common need of today, and even more so as you see the day of trouble approach. The Bible says when trouble is seen approaching, the wise hide themselves. Now, what we want to do is to get a piece of land, self-sufficient, fully self-contained, wherein that we would have little need of the outside possessions of the things in the world. If we had to raise our cattle and our sheep and supply the meat, and that we should kill them ourselves and not buy or depend on commercial additives to keep the meat that we eat from spoilage and things of this nature, that we would only kill that which is necessary to sustain the group, and that the ladies would have chores in the summertime, in the canning season. They would can wholesome vegetables and fruits that would be grown organically or as near as possible, and that the land that we farm could be treated as the earth that we are not ownership of, but have been given possession to eat the good of the land. And by that, we talk about all things in common. Now, there is a price to pay for all things common. I want you to know that all this I intend to correct and amend. Now, all blessings shall freely partake, one life and one system for all men I make. That was the Creator. We are our brother's keeper. Not as Cain, who went off to build cities. But you notice the people that were righteous, they were the sheep herders, and they tended the land. Did you know that the land will not yield to Cain or to his associates, and those who are on the opposite side of the positive things of all things common and together, that the system has taught us every man for himself and dog eat dog. That's not the way that we intend to live. Notice this. I want you to know that the voice of the common people should begin to speak with one accord, because all that believe are together and have all things in common. That means if we had sickness. Did you know today that if you're sick, or if you're alone, if you're growing old, as I am, did you know that the requirements today is that you have Medicaid if you don't have access to Blue Shield or Red Shield or whatever type of insurance you have to keep you living in some nursing home, rolled off into the sunset and sedated to keep you docile or out of your mind, if you will, with dope. I've seen men and women that were physically able to contribute, still work the land, and still grow things and had knowledge of things because of their age and how they used to live, that are wheeled off to some lonesome nursing home by family members that claim they love them, and that they're scooted out there to be doped up for the rest of life, not even mostly many of them knowing actually where they are. Well, ladies and gentlemen, wouldn't it be better to go back to the old ways when the families cared for their loved ones? That if you was to have Alzheimer's, that you wouldn't have to be put in some institution and then doped up to really you wouldn't care where you were at, let alone knowing where you were at. And that this common ground of the nursing, they call them nursing homes. Well, people that work in there are working for a living. You're just another vegetable laying on the plate supplying their wages. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I am far too productive and got too many things to do to be herded off to some nursing home and filled with drugs to live out the rest of my days. I would like to sit at the end of a harvest roll, at the end of the day, where I can pick beans and potatoes and things of this nature, the vegetables, or watch the young men plow in the distant fields of our farming community, knowing that our food is wholesome and that the earth has been respected and it will yield to us the prosperous fruits and vegetables and the meats that we have to require for our body. That's why that they had all things together. There was no rich and there was no poor, because those that had more give to those that had less. And when they came together, they pooled their resources and they lived in common ground. Did you know that one of the objectives of our enemy is to divide and conquer? One of the motives of the enemy is to divide us, to conquer us. And that's exactly what they've done. They took us off our land. Go back to the 30s. Some of you can't remember these days. But go back to the 30s when they had common farms. Men of the community, whatever community that you live in across America, the farmers knew each other. And then the government came in and started giving support prices. And by this, the farmers took the bait. This was the farming bait that they gave to the farmers. They offered them enticements to put for soil and soil bank so that they could keep the economy adjusted to where that men and women would not have access to the things which were original. They began to give them hybrid seed. And the heirloom seeds that they had in the families for years, they began to collect and even pass laws for those who were keeping these seeds to be illegal. Did you know today in the hoarding laws that they have, you cannot legally place original seed in the ground without authorization from those who tell you what to plant, when to plant it, where to plant it, and how much, and at what cost you're going to get in the market. But if you're not interested in profit, see, that's based on profit motives. And the Bible speaks about it of greed. And so then these commercial farmers begin to be enticed to poison the land with fertilizers and things of this nature, not going the slower route of organic. In other words, we would take the cattle that we had in the fields, they would stand in the barns in the winter, and they would create manure that was rich in nutrients, and they would place it on the land, and these nutrients and this oxygen through this methane gas that interacted with the soils, which is what we call organic farming, produced not abundance, but in quality, not quantity. And so quality food takes less to fill you. Do you ever notice today that you sit down at the table, you open up a can of this, and you get a can of that, and the first thing you know, you've got too much sodium and too much of the preservative additives to keep the food fresh or to keep it from spoiling, and that this additives literally cause problems of immense. We don't really know the extent of all these food additives that they've added, although we do know something. Let's take NutraSweet. This is something that they have added to the products, and they've made these colas with NutraSweet and things of this nature that they've added to the products to make them poison, to where that they have discovered that iron pilots that drink a drink that contains these artificial sweeteners, and although they'll tell you they're sweet, or they're all natural or part natural, whatever, but they sell it to you that they're healthy, they have no calories, and therefore you won't get fat. And so these people that are in commercial living buy into that, and they drink these products. And the airline industry will not let an airline pilot fly with these artificial sweeteners in a drink. They can't drink one 3 hours before flight time because it is said to impair the thinking and the brain functioning of the pilots. And so then if you see what I'm talking about here, we should avoid the very appearance of whatever they claim to be good, which is bad, and those things which they call bad for you. I'll give you an example here. Dr. Gary could do a better job in these things that I'm talking about, but I know enough about the oils. Let's take oils, for example. We know that for long we have been given canola oil. If you go to any health food store around America and throughout the world for that matter, we are told that cookies or whatever, treats and things of this nature, or things that require oil-based products, they usually contain, 99% of them contain what we call canola oil. And this canola oil comes from the rapeseed. Now, the fields of Canada are full of these co-op farms that grow this rapeseed where they extract this oil that used to be used for engines, for mechanical parts, strictly for that. But they have convinced, somebody that owns these large co-ops, and I won't say who at this point, you should come to our secret festivals. We discuss a lot of things that we're not allowed to talk about for obvious reasons on the air. But if you really knew what canola oil was and what disadvantages it has by using it, although it's a cheap oil, and the commercial products that are baked, even though they're called healthy, are not. Now, let's go to the number one oil in the world. I'm talking about an oil that used to be plenteous, cheap, and it still is, for that matter, compared to some of the other oils, especially the oils that are bad for you, but coconut oil. If you take a coconut oil, things of that nature, and use these oils like olive oil. We know in the Middle East that people had no incidence, hardly, of heart trouble. And it was discovered that they had diets that was heavily saturated in fats, where we have been told for the last 20 years that saturated fats, oils, and things of this nature are bad for you. So they brought out all of the calories of the products, and they started using substitute oils to make low-calorie or low-fat food, which increased the heart trouble of America, because the oils and the things that they used to make this none or low-fat food actually contain things that raise the bad cholesterol, with no good oils that would neutralize the cholesterol. You got good and bad. And if you have a balance of good and bad, because you're going to have fat, all fat is not bad. And when they cut it completely out of our diet, we had people, the heart rate incidence, the heart disease increased. It didn't decrease. It increased. Today it is the number one killer with cancer. And cancer is caused by a combination of foods, fatty acids, and things that they add, additives, these artificial sweeteners, and these that enhance the food. We call them taste exciters, things that would make your taste buds go crazy and want more. For instance, if they put them in the chips, a special coating, and you're getting full of the sodium coating of things that aren't good for you. So we are aware of that. You must have this knowledge. And as it says in Titus, and the book of Jude, and particularly in this scripture, Jude 1 and 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. So common salvation for common people that eat common food and desire the good things. You know, back when I was a young man in the 40s, we had beans and potatoes, or potatoes and beans, in that order. And the mother would change the recipe from day to day. One day, she would have beans and potatoes, and the next day, she'd have potatoes and beans. And ladies and gentlemen, we actually thrived on this. They used the coconut oil, rich in fatty acids, the good stuff. I mean, the cholesterol in these oils. And we have been convinced that they're bad for you. And so, therefore, the market for the coconut oil fell off, and the increased market for markets that they suggested that these foods like canola oil were good for you, they gave them to the people, and we have had incidents of more sickness. And ladies and gentlemen, they have a farming system in the world, not only the United States, where they have foods that they say they're good for you or bad, and then they tell you the bad foods, if they stay away from these, usually are the foods that are good for you. So if you work, the Bible said that sleep to a laboring man is good, whether he eats little or eats much. It's a lack of exercise. With these low-fat foods, we have to eat more to satisfy our craving and taste, and therefore, we have an obese nation. And the food pyramids have been periodically changed by the United States government, not for your salvation, but for a system that is designed to kill you, to let you die in at least your late 60s or early 70s, where you become a statistic, when you're no longer productive for the system. They farm you out, actually kill you, as they milk you for all of your wealth in the nursing homes and the hospitals and the doctor's office, where they have legal people that legally can give you medicines that get you addicted. We call it dope down here in the South. It is addiction to drugs. And the legal drug dealers are freely prescribing drugs. We are a more dependent nation upon drugs today than we've ever been before. So the rule that I dare to enact and declare is that all should be equal and equally share. All wealth and enjoyments no longer endure. That one should be rich and another poor. That one should have acres far stretching and wide, and another not even enough to provide. I think it's time that we come together. Now, if you're listening to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call, here around the world tonight on WWCR, the Jewel of the South, you write us tonight. That's Pastor Buddy. Just write Pastor Buddy at Post Office Box 2284. That's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you would like to come together and believe and have all things in common, and you could add rather than subtract from the moon. Some people are just like rolling stone. They want to roll in and roll on. We're looking for people that wants to put down roots, to raise families, and to live in common objectives, to have healthy people working healthy, eating healthy, thinking healthy. We could have around-the-clock prayer time warriors. I'm talking about people that would gather together to have enough people in prayer chains to pray around the clock. And that's what the Bible said in Acts 2:44. They had all things together, and they continued in one accord, in one heart and one mind and one soul. In other words, the objective was to actually just survive. But to survive in such a healthy way that they would add quality to life, not quantity. You know, it's once appointed for all of us to die, and we really have a trigger point that when we reach that, whether we are vegetarians or whether we are meat eaters. And I don't believe that vegetarian doctrine is solid. I don't think it's sound. I don't think it's biblical. Because the Bible introduced meat. And of course, in the festival of Passover, you're required to eat meat. The meal that they had all things in common in Passover, required you to eat at least once a year lamb. And I think that you'd be far better off that if you ate lamb at least 200 times a year, and you would especially quit eating pork, and especially quit eating a lot of beef, and the oils and the things that are associated with beef, and the blood. You're supposed to kosher your food and drain it. of all blood, and Vince Dixit, I believe that we would, and the number one meat that has less blood and less fat and less of the dangerous cholesterol is the beef of choice, is sheep or lamb. The lamb is the yearling in the Passover that you're required to kill. But then for the meals together to have meat to provide for the multitude that all believe and have in common, that sheep is the number one meat on your table, should be. We have far long been fed the diet of pork. I don't know. We've talked about this at the festival this year, this week, about everything in restaurants and places where you eat. Everything is seasoned or fixed with pork. They slip the additive of pork, which is an unclean meat, into your menu. And if you're not very careful, if you eat out very often, you're going to get the effects of pork. For instance, I'll give you an example. If you stop at McDonald's and you have an egg sandwich without pork, remember that they fix it on the same grill that they fry the sausages and the bacon, and they do not take time to clean the grill. So remember that the next time you think you're eating an egg sandwich, that you're not getting any pork, you're actually giving in the oils or the tallow that is placed on the frying pan, which is called the grills in this day, but you're actually eating from a defiled grill or a defiled oven, if you will. So then, if you want to eat in common with things healthy, remember that you need to have a place where you know that people that know how to cook and what to fix and what to put on the table, that you're going to live longer if you just like good common living without an accumulation. See, the system of Babylon has encouraged us to accumulate through greed. Well, the system that is taught in the Bible is that you certainly can't take nothing with you. You can't carry it out. You come in this world naked and it's out to go out that way. But wouldn't you want to live not a quantity amount of days, but a quality amount of days? I know people right now that's listening to me that have suffered the last 5 or 6 years of your life. When you've come to the age that you should be enjoying the fruits of your labor or the savings that you've gathered up, you have had to stay in Babylon so long that you've destroyed your health to gather up together, and that's the objective, where they can gather your goods that you've gathered into your barn or your savings account, and then they can systematically in these institutions where they will bring you to live out your old days or days not in quality, but in quantity. You become a number to them, and they gather up the pills and the treatment places and the regimens, and they come around and visit you 2 or 3 times a day to keep you doped out of your mind with something artificial to make you forget your misery. Ladies and gentlemen, it shouldn't be so. And I tell you this because the rule that I dare to enact and declare is that we should all be equal and equally share. That's the rule. All things in common. And the Bible says in Acts 5, verse 18, I want you to go there with me as we visit a couple more scriptures here in all things common. Now, Acts 5:18, and they laid their hands on the apostles for preaching just what Pastor Buddy's preached. They went out and preached common living. And the people that were running the system begin to fear. You see, when we leave the land and we turn the land over to the commercial co-ops, then those in the commercial co-ops have no respect for your health. They dope the land. They add ingredients to grow in a hybrid setting. Not the common herbs and the common spices and the common seeds that was given. And remember, the Bible said the seed that bears in itself, if it's hybrid, it's an unclean seed. If it's genetically altered, and ladies and gentlemen, I warn you today that you do not have to have, they do not have to have, a recipe of what they've done to the food that you eat out of the stores. Most of it is already in the process of being genetically altered. And that means that, for instance, a grain of rice could be if you will, genetically altered with some kind of a gene from an animal. Or in this case, I'll give you an example, and this has already been known. They took the gene of a salmon that spawns in cold water and has a cold water environment. They took the gene of a salmon and crossed it with the gene of a rice, and they now have a rice that will grow that is not susceptible to cold weather. In other words, it don't kill it as frequently or as often, and that's been a modified. It's not a natural. You see, Yahweh made everything good. But man has come along, particularly in the last 50 years, and altered the originals to generic, or to hybrid, or to a mixture of both, and they have poisoned the earth. For you that smoke cigarettes, I'm telling you, you ought to really smoke the original tobacco plant. Because those that you go out and buy has been so enhanced with these taste bud enhancers that you just have to have more and more smoke to satisfy your nicotine habit. And they say nicotine is one of the things that you get addicted to. And they knew that. So they wanted to invent something that would make you smoke more, not less. Now, I remember when my grandfather, and we grow tobacco on our farms, and we harvest tobacco and send it to the market to make cigarettes. So there's no greater sin of smoking it is growing it, matter of fact. But it's a nerve. It was made for something good. And I do believe that smoking has been in the, and it even mentions it in the Bible, by the way. Smoking flax. That was the what we call the merryweed or the marijuana plant. And they were actually using that back then. There's a lot of good uses for it, but man has outlawed those uses and made it to where it's illegal, and those who bootleg it make the money. And one of your greatest suppliers, if you would really know where it's coming from, is the drug-running cartels that are authorized by people that you wouldn't even dare think, as they make fortunes of underground money that the government doesn't even have to report, as they launder the money through systems of international banking to profit off of the vices that they say is illegal. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's all going on today. Well, notice here that they had a belief system of one heart and one soul. They had things that was possessed by everyone rather than just one. All of these blessings shall freely partake one life and one system for all men, the Creator said, I make. So then the Father has made a way for us to have all things in common and to get together as a family. Remember, the family of Jacob is one family, and to and for and about that one family is the Bible wrote. These are examples. They had all things in common. These are the things that the Father said unto them that you do in commonality, loving your brother as yourself, or your neighbor as yourself, and loving the Creator with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I don't believe you'll go wrong. So then, if you're interested in getting out of the city, and Pastor Buddy is making an urgent appeal tonight, for those of you who live in the city or close to the city, that you are in danger in the next years to come. Quickly, we're going to have fearful times. We're living right in them. Tonight we're having a storm again hitting Florida. Unprecedented. These storms are coming in like a flood. The waves of the sea are roaring. Men's hearts are failing them. This is all associated with diet and living style. And so then, we are going to have a place. Now, we're associated with some that already have these common lands. But we are going to organize a new common ground, and we're wanting people of quality that can contribute in the positive, not the negative. We don't want your troubles. Don't come if you want to bring trouble, or you want to bring dissension, or you just want to come to show off or style and profile, as the saying goes today, just because you've got a lot of money. We don't need your money. We need the quality of your thoughts and your hearts. And if you're of one mind and one accord and you walk together with people of like manner, clean people, people that believe in hard work, Today we invite you to come, and there's someone that's listening tonight that has the finances to provide 600 quality acres somewhere down south of the Mason-Dixon line in a appropriate area where we can grow at least two gardens a year, and we can can. I know one community farm in South Georgia. It's got 125 people on it, and I guarantee you they got over 2 million cans of canned stuff. They grow four gardens a year. It's a wonderful place with wonderful people with common goals, and that's why that it's needful in the last days to come together. And the multitude of them which believe were one heart and one soul, neither said they of all to think they had which it said, but they sold their possessions and came and laid them down at the community gathering where they could be dispersed and use according to equal to all. No one has any lack and no one has anything over. Everything has to be community and everything has to be shared in like manner. And then when you're old, you'll have the young children of the old people, the healthy people, to stay with you and attend to your needs, to not dope you up out of your mind. You can live to the ripe old age, and if you got dead fast, you would still be treated with dignity and respect without anybody making a fortune off of you or you paying for them living as parasites. I look at these people in the nursing homes, and there's a lot of good people who work there. They just work there for a living. But I look at them as parasites living off of the accumulated savings. And you say, well, buddy, what if they had no place else to go? Well, we ought to be at home in communities. We ought to raise our children in communities. And we ought to live there and work there and share there. And then when we're old, we will never be forsaken. David said, I was once young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed of begging bread. The rule which I dare to enact and declare is that all should be equal and equally share. All wealth and enjoyment no longer endure. That one should be rich and another poor. That one should have acres far stretching and wide, and another not even enough to provide. Himself with a grave, that is all his call, should have hundreds of servants, and that none at all. All this I intend to correct and amend. Now all of all blessings shall freely partake one life and one system, the Creator did make. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to share in my dream tonight and others of like mind, you write me. Sit down tonight while it's on your heart. If you have something positive to contribute, if you have land, if you know of land, if you know of a place where it's blessed with water and springs and it's south of the Mason-Dixon line, anywhere, if you want to meet Pastor Buddy, and a few of the brethren, I will be glad to travel to that place that you could recommend. And if it's within a reasonable price where we can purchase it, then we want to invite you to write us. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now that's Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, 37824. That's all you have to do. Just write and tell me that you know of a land or you'd like to participate in your name and address where that we can examine you. The elders will examine you, and we will try to get acquainted with you. If we have common ground to stand on and we all believe together and all things common, then you could join with Pastor Buddy and others who are of like mind that don't want to make a big defense. We're not going to play defense. We're not going to be offense. We're just going to gather to survive in the time. And we believe that in numbers are safety. Numbers of dedicated men and women who will serve the Creator. We'll fast and pray. We can have fasting chains, prayer chains. We can have Bible studies. Not a one man's opinion, but any that can contribute a thought or a revelation. Because the Father has blessed everyone, just like in the festival. We have had a wonderful festival in Bryson City, North Carolina. It was a gathering of fun and enjoyment and refreshing and relaxing. And we just had a wonderful, clean, healthy environment right in the beautiful hills of Bryson City, North Carolina. The leaves are now just coming into color. and it was beautiful with their brothers. And if you missed this festival, you missed a great one. We had a wonderful time. Now, we did dismiss in Bryson City early, and we reconvened at another location. And we did that for some reasons. And tonight we are concluding the eighth day of the festival and revealing to you what our objective was at that festival, which was to share and have all things in common. Now, if you'd like to call me, I'm live tonight. Call me here now at this number, area code 423-626-2172.
Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down. When the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big drum. Voices call and voices cry. Some are pulling, some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorny. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the prick. In measured 100 weight and penny pounds. When a man comes around.
Four beasts, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him.